Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
What's going on, everybody? Logan Ryan here, back with the NFL Player Podcast. Man, it's been a little minute since I made one of these. Had a lot go on in life. Obviously made a move down to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Excited about that. I actually have a home down in Florida, and it's going to work out, I think, for my family, especially, and myself, and be able to play with a really good team and have Super Bowl ambitions. And it just shows you how quick things can change in the NFL. Never did I expect to see that coming or expect to see me playing for the Bucks this season, but that's just kind of how it shakes out. I was trying to make the best out of the situation I was put in. And that's football talk. That's what this podcast is about, but it's also about my journey and our journey as NFL players to show that we're more than just football players. And what makes this world go round is all the beautiful mothers out there. And I have a special guest, a guest that I know really well, and I better say it's my favorite guest, but my wife, Ashley Ryan, is joining us today, and she's going to spend a couple minutes with us, and we're going to talk about what it's like to be married to me and what I'm like off the field and some of my quirks, and not the well put together professional that you guys might hear or see all the time, kind of what the real uncut raw me is. So what's going on?
So buckle up. Yeah, there's a lot about Logan you may not know, but we make it work, and I'm happy to share.
So me and you, we met at Rutgers University. Ashley played shortstop for the softball team. Can we hear a little bit about, you know, you were a highly touted player at Rutgers, I will say that. And you were a lot bigger deal than me at Rutgers when we first got there. So let's talk a little bit about your softball journey and how you ended up getting to Rutgers and how we our world aligned.
Yeah, for you to say a softball player is a big deal is pretty cool. You don't hear it often. I didn't hear it often at Rutgers, but nonetheless. So yeah, I mean, I played softball my whole life from the time I could, same story as you, the time I could was old enough to pick up a ball, I did. And that was the sport I chose. My dad played baseball. I never really had a huge interest in other sports. That was just what I always wanted to do, knew it early on. So played my whole life. I played baseball with the boys until they petitioned the league and told me I wasn't allowed to anymore, and switched over to softball. I think I was pretty good.
How'd you feel about that? How'd you feel about when you're a girl and you're playing baseball with the boys and then they put a petition in the league to essentially kick you out of the league, probably because you're kicking the boys' butt. How does that make you feel, and what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, nowadays you would never get away with that. It was something back in the day that maybe wasn't a big deal. I don't really see – I don't think I was dominating. I'm still small. I was small. I was holding my own, but I think it made me a lot better, and I enjoyed playing with the boys. But, yeah, I don't think you could get away with it now. I don't know why it happened back then. I was super upset at the time. I remember crying to my parents. This is kind of silly, but I didn't want to play softball because I saw how the pitchers threw, and I thought that everybody had to throw like that.
Underhand.
So that was my idea of softball back then. So I fought it for as long as I could, but I ended up switching over. I think baseball really prepared me to be one of the better softball players, and I stuck with it. Played through high school, won a state championship, and then ended up, you know, on a pretty good travel team and committing to Rutgers my junior year in high school.
Okay, so you come from the dominant state of Delaware, which I joke on a lot. I'm from New Jersey, and sports are a lot better in Jersey than they are in Delaware. Shout out Chris Godwin. Shout out
Daron Harmon,
my boy. Shout out
Deladon.
Darnell Savage.
We can go down the list, but it's okay.
So you and Darnell Savage went to the same high school.
We did, not at the same time, but yeah. Shout out to Caravelle Academy.
So you guys, for that. Chris Godwin, you may not listen to this. You may be a guest probably in the future. Not you're my teammate.
We should get them on here on your podcast at some point.
Yeah, but you guys are putting some respect on Delaware. I've been joking on it for a lot of years. So let's just say we met at the age of 21. It might have been 20. Let's just say 21. Let's just say we were at a party, and I might have snuck a cheap vodka into a expensive Grey Goose bottle to try to do the best I can on my college budget. And we met at a party, we met in class, then we met at a party, we ended up hitting it off, and been together ever since. And that's 10 years ago, right?
10 years, yeah.
10 years. And then, you know, I'm a redshirt junior, and I decide that I'm going to go play pro football, and we're dating, and we had a decision to be made when I got drafted to New England Patriots. And it's kind of that decision of, hey, we've been dating for a year or two. I'm going pro. Are you coming with me? Are you not? I know you were a criminal justice major. So what were your plans in college?
Yeah, you know, so I did major in criminal justice and psychology. As many athletes feel, I didn't really know where I wanted to go with any of that. I had an interest in it, but I wasn't sure. But my plans pre-Logan were to go back to Delaware and my home state. And I was going to coach. I was going to do some stuff with my high school. I had an outline of a plan, nothing major. But I had a good little setup. I had plans with the local softball organization. And then you came into the picture and turned my plans upside down.
I threw a little wrench in it.
Yeah.
I threw a little wrench in it. And we couldn't backtrack. When me and Ashley met, I was on the bench. I might have talked about this many times on this podcast, but true story, I literally was like the sixth string corner on the bench when we started dating, and I wanted to transfer. And I actually stayed for the spring because of me dating Ashley and meeting her and wanted to see where that went and to say, you know, let me just stick to it. I'm not a quitter. And let me just see if I can make this work. And, we had a coach named Jeff Hafley, who's the head coach at Boston College now, come from Pitt. And he recently coached Darrell Revis. And that right there, you know, his coaching of Darrell Revis and seeing what type of player Darrell Revis was one of my favorite corners at the time. But this guy spoke so much positivity and confidence in me that I just didn't have. And I feel like I always had the work ethic and the drive, but I just didn't have the confidence at the time. And you really need that to play defensive back at a college level, at an NFL level. And him coming really changed my career. And I went from being on the bench, talking to the shortstop on a full ride on the softball team to, you know, declaring for the NFL draft in a year or two. So it was a really a quick turnaround with Jeff Hafley. He gets a lot of credit. Ashley gets a ton of credit. A lot of tough nights talking to her, figure out about this football journey. End up getting drafted to the New England Patriots in the third round. Ashley makes a decision to come move up with your boy. And we ended up going to New England. And I know there was a tough time at first for you. It was two different stories or two different chapters, I would think.
Yeah.
At that point, I think a lot of people don't understand, you know, the NFL journey. It's not all rainbows and unicorns as we know about life. But sure. So let's talk about, you know, the two different chapters that we were on, maybe trajectories or whatever that may be.
Yeah. So we moved up to New England. It was exciting. I mean, this is a huge moment for Logan. You know, I was on board. I was ready to, you know, do what it took. I was going to make my own way up there and figure it out. But what I didn't realize was how tough the post athlete transition would be. And I think that softball was my life for a really long time. And it was a lot of who I was, and I wasn't so sure who I was without it. So moving up there, and I'm watching you live your dream, you get to continue playing your sport, you get to potentially make millions playing your sport. And I was supportive, and I was a little at the same time envious, like, I wish I could do that, and I'm going to be here and support you through it. But I had to figure out what the heck I'm going to do next. So I dabbled in some things. I did some personal training. I settled in coaching and doing private lessons up there. And I really loved and enjoyed that, but it wasn't it, you know, it just didn't fulfill everything that I needed to fulfill right at the time. So yeah, we were on really different paths. And eventually I was like, you know what, I have to figure this out. And I ended up taking a job at Providence Animal Rescue League. And I didn't tell them who Logan was. I didn't want to be Logan Ryan's girlfriend. No offense. I love being Logan Ryan's girlfriend, but I didn't want that to define who I was. So I took that job. Nobody there really knew who you were.
An animal shelter.
Yeah. What our life was like outside of that. So I was cleaning kennels and changing litter boxes and doing really the dirty work, the grunt work at the shelter. And
what was your income?
Oh, I mean, I want to say like 12 to 15 bucks an hour. Like, it was minimal, very minimal. And that's animal welfare. It's still the case that you don't make much in this field, but you do it because you love it. And
I think I can hear, and the viewer might not know this, but it's why I love you so much, is you said something how you refused to be just Logan Ryan's girlfriend, and you took a job at an animal shelter at starting salary, not telling anybody who you were. Why the independence? Where does that come from, where you don't want to be defined as just my girlfriend?
You know, I just always wanted to make my own way, and I appreciated what you did, and I was super proud of what you did and who you were. But, you know, Ashley's cool too. Ashley works hard too. You know, I have my own thing, and I wanted it to stay that way. And that's something I want to instill in our kids and anybody I'm around, just that, like, you know, you are great as well. You can do your own thing. You can make your own way. I don't need to rely on Logan being the superstar athlete still to, you know, carve my own path.
Right.
So that's kind of what I was trying to do. And I don't know, it's just something that's always been really important to me, to know that I can rely on myself and have a supportive partner and have this relationship at the same time. But it wasn't everything.
I paid the rent, but you paid all your own bills. I know we had separate cell phone bills, separate this, separate that, car. I mean, she wouldn't take nothing from me, honestly. She literally was going to pay her own way. We were like two individuals living together, like roommates.
Well, look, and we were also not engaged. We were also not married. Sure. It was still, you know, we'd been together for a couple years at the time, but we still weren't exactly sure where, you know, we want to be together. We want to stay together, but we didn't know what our future looked like. And with this huge change, I didn't want to be so stuck relying on your income and your career and who you are in my own life, that say we decided to go separate paths, I had to be able to make it on my own too.
Now, did you feel like you, as a college athlete or a person who's very independent, doesn't want to live off of my name, doesn't want to tell people who you even date, kind of want to go under the radar and just kind of go about life and find your own path and your own reason. Did you find that tough getting into the world of NFL wives, the hierarchy of some veterans and their wives? Tell me how that made you feel as a rookie girlfriend coming into the New England Patriots, the top of the top, you know, the NFL wife hierarchy, how that goes.
Yeah, I can't lie. I had a hard time with it. I think there was so much expectation from, I don't know where it was from. I think people hear NFL girlfriend, NFL wife, WAG, all these titles, whatever you want to call it, and expect me to look and act a certain way.
Right.
And I did not look or act that way. You know, the stereotypes, I don't really believe in them. And I think some people love to do those things, but I didn't. And, you know, if you want to dress in heels and wear makeup and, you know, care about these certain things, that's great. And some people love it and that's who they are, but that wasn't who I am. And it kind of felt like maybe that I didn't belong.
So you come in, you don't really feel like you fit in. You're in a truly a slow moving place, not slow moving, but not a lot going on in Foxborough, Mass.
There's not a lot going on. That's
a lot of gray skies.
Yeah, it's pretty gloomy.
Working at an animal shelter. working at an animal shelter, cheering your boyfriend starting on the New England Patriots on Sundays, and no one even knows, you know, who you date. So it kind of felt like it was a very isolating time for you.
Yeah, it was a transition. I just didn't know, you know, I was going through my own transition of trying to figure out who I was, what I wanted to do, what our relationship was, where that was going. And you throw the NFL on top of that. And looking back on it, I think it was a little bit unfounded. I don't think I needed to feel those expectations so much. And all of those women from New England, I'm still friends with so many of them, people who are very much like me and people who are complete opposite of me. So I think a lot of that expectation came from myself, and then I thought I had to be something, but that really probably wasn't the case. And I think that my first, you know, 2-3 years in the, as an NFL girlfriend, wife, would have been much easier if I just release that expectation and just would have been me.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky, they're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my day, bro.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Yeah. You know, as we get into the next story here that we're going to tell, and we fast forward, I'm a New York Giant. I signed up, miss all of training camp. I signed the week of the season. It wasn't planned. I wasn't trying to skip training camp or anything. It literally just, they had a young safety, Xavier McKinney, who was a stud, end up breaking his foot during training camp, and they needed another player, and Joe Judge brought me in and brought me in to lead and brought me in to show these guys what I can do. And I really had a good time in that role. I really enjoyed that leadership position. I really enjoyed the young guys. And I think our world shifted upside down. It's Monday Night Football. We're playing Tom Brady, my old friend from the Patriots. I intercepted him for Tennessee and beat the Patriots. He ends up going to Tampa. He's in Tampa. I'm in the Giants. Everything's completely different from our last encounter. And I'm playing him on Monday Night Football, and I'm part of the game planning. I'm trying to run everything to make his life difficult. From everything I learned in practice, everything he taught me, I'm trying to use against him to the best of my ability. And it's a really tight game. It's a really close game. We have a very important vote in our country at that time, right?
Yeah, it was election time.
During COVID, we had moved to Florida because we knew we weren't coming back to Tennessee. And we bought this dream house in Florida, in Tampa. And we really wanted to say, hey, we're a tight unit. It's very tough leaving Nashville at the time. Don't know if I want to live here. I'm not a Titan. I'm really recognizable in the city. I get a lot of love, but it kind of hurts not playing here. Let's go somewhere fresh. Let's go somewhere together. So we picked Tampa, Florida. Warm. Yeah,
the plan was something unrelated.
Unrelated to football,
which makes us all a little ironic now.
Where I'm going to retire one day and live life after football. Warm. Sunshine, tax-free, beaches. There's no beaches in Tennessee. And close to Disney World. We're big Disney people. Yeah, so that was all in it. So Ashley's down in Florida to go vote. And why was it important for you to go to Florida and vote?
Honestly, I wanted to vote in Florida. I know Florida was somewhat of a swing state at the time. And the election was really important to me. And I wanted to go vote in person and make my vote count to the best of my ability. So I wanted to be there. I wanted to do it. And I wanted to check on our house and maybe get a little warm weather in the process.
Right. So this is right around Halloween, I believe. You're in Florida with your sister. You're going down there to check on our house to go vote. I'm going to go play this game, this Monday Night Football against Tom Brady. Our kids are down with my parents down in South Jersey. Good benefit of playing for the Giants. My parents are, I grew up an hour, 15 minutes from the stadium. She always does this thing where I like.
Don't even. He underestimates.
I underestimate time.
He underestimates time.
Yeah. So it's not 50 minutes, it's an hour. She'll say hour 30, it's hour 15 minutes. So we're good. Our kids are here. She's there. I'm there. My parents are going to bring the kids to me the day after the game. I'm going to watch until she gets back. Cool. We're all good. So I remember we like trick or treated, all that. We go do our thing.
At the house because it was COVID.
Yes.
At our own house.
In-house trick or treating. And I remember it's the late in that game. Tom Brady throws a seam ball. I'm in cover three. I'm the post safety. I have a big hit with Tyler Johnson, I believe. And bam, I hit him. He hits me right down the seam. And it's a tough spot for a safety because I don't want to hit him in his head because that's a penalty. I don't want to cut his knees out because I'm just not that type of guy. So I hit him right in his trunk, in his midsection where all his weight is. And I took the brunt of the hit, honestly. I think I got a knee to my thigh. I had the worst thigh bruise. I went to the tent. They checked me for a concussion. I didn't have a concussion. I come back in the game. I'm literally playing on one leg. The couple plays I'm out, they score a touchdown. Mike Evans catches a touchdown. They end up winning the game on that play. We played them really well. We played them really tight. But we lost. I go back. I'm in the training room. It's probably midnight by the time the game gets done. I'm in the training room, and that's when I get a call from you.
Yeah. So I was home. I think this was the day before I was going to vote. Laying in bed, and I had felt stomach pain. It felt like crampy at first, and it would come and go. And I didn't think much of it. I took some Tums, and I was like, all right, I'm good. But by the time your game was over and it was time for us to talk, it had gotten really bad, and it was intermittent. So it would come and then it would go, but the pain had become closer together. And I was like, man, this doesn't feel right. I'm on WebMD. I'm diagnosing myself with all kinds of stuff. But unlike most people who diagnose themselves, I was kind of underdiagnosing. I'm like, oh, I think I have kidney stones. Like, I had no idea. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning, probably by this point, and I didn't want to get up and go to the ER. I didn't feel that emergent until it did.
And after both kids, you had kidney stones.
I did.
So we were used to you having kidney stones.
Yeah, it happened before.
And it was painful and it was terrible.
Yep.
And you call me, you say your stomach's killing me. I'm walking out of the parking lot with Justin Meyer, and who's a trainer for the Giants. And he had just took care of my thigh bruise. He had just took care of all my bumps and bruises. I'm the last player to leave the facility. I really stayed to get my body right to play on a short week the next week. I get the call from Ashley that her stomach's killing her. I literally said, hey, let me call Justin. I was just with him. I know he's here. And he said, Yeah, you know, women have a lot of different stuff going on down there than men, a lot more going on. And, you know, I wouldn't take it lightly. I would have her go to an ER, have her get it checked out. I'm like, man, it's midnight, stomach pains. Can she just go to sleep? Can she just sleep on
it?
She
yeah,
just
can I do it in the morning? Can
yeah, it took time. And he really advised not to. And we talked on the phone. We had a decision. I said, Ash, you know, he's advising, just go. Like, just be safe. Let's just go. So she ends up.
Luckily, my sister was with me. Last minute, she decided to fly down with me. And so I call her in the middle of the night. She's upstairs and she's like, okay, I'm coming. We go to just the local urgent care because, again, I didn't think it was that serious. And they admit me, start running all the tests, go through all their questions. Take some blood work. That was the first thing. They feel around my abdominal area, ask where the pain is. And, you know, the one question he asked, like, okay, well, is there any chance that you're pregnant? And I said, absolutely not. I'm, you know, on a contraceptive. There's just that much of a chance. So he's like, okay. So he's thinking about what it may be. And he's like, all right, let's wait, get blood work back, and we'll determine maybe why you're feeling this pain. The blood work comes back and he comes back in the room. He says, hey, can I talk to you in private? I'm like, I thought we were in private. My sister was there. I'm like, no, she's fine. She can hear anything. And he's like, okay, you're pregnant, which was shock to the system because we didn't think that was possible.
Yeah, not planning.
Well, yeah, definitely not planning. Actually planning not to be pregnant. We were taking the precautions not to be. And it was a less than 1% chance that I could be pregnant was the IUD that I had. And there we were, the less than 1%.
I get a call from her sister. Or was it you?
It was me.
I get a call. Yeah, I get a call from you. It's got to be 1 or 2 in the morning at this point. I'm just winding down. It's really hard to fall asleep for me after games just because you're so amped up. But I was really tired after this game. I'm laying down in bed. Mind you, getting up early for my kids to come back home or whatever and handle that. And I get a call. Hey, we're pregnant. I'm like, what? What do you mean we're pregnant? Yeah, we're pregnant. And I'm like, hey, okay, I'm at peace with it. Like, all right, at least we know what the stomach pain is coming from. And she said, yeah, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to call you in the morning. And then we can, you know, tell people when it's time or whatever, but that's what it is. So I'm like going to bed, thinking about what life's like with three kids.
Yeah, I think that we weren't expecting it, but it was where we were good with it. It was good news. That's, you know, a child is generally not bad news. So we were excited. We went, you know, he went to bed happy and it was, I'll call you in the morning. And then my brain started going like, wait a second, I've been pregnant. Pregnancy doesn't hurt like this, you know, like, oh, we're just going to do an ultrasound, check everything. And at that point, I kind of knew once I was in the ultrasound, I knew something was up. The tech was very quiet. I was asking questions and she just kept saying, well, I can't answer that for you. You know, I have to wait for the doctor. And when she was performing the ultrasound, it was very painful. So I was like, okay, something's going on. By the time I got back to my room, I was in pretty much constant pain all the time. They were giving me some serious drugs. They were not touching the pain. And it turned out that the pregnancy was ectopic. So it was implanted in the fallopian tube. It wasn't viable. And I needed emergency surgery, they said, yesterday, essentially, as fast as possible to take care of it because these things can go downhill very quickly. So they had to transfer me over to the actual emergency room. I'm in an ambulance. And that's when, like, everything kind of went crazy. It was super painful. Everything, every bump the ambulance hit was painful. I was begging the guy in the ambulance to give me something else. I'm like, please, it just hurts so bad. And by the time I got in the room, at the emergency room, I could barely talk. Like, the pain was that bad. I asked my sister to help me stand up to go to the bathroom, and I couldn't lean forward enough to go to the bathroom, to even get up. And yeah, so they were right. It did go downhill very quickly. It ended up that my tube had ruptured at some point from A to B, and the surgery was super emergent at that point. And honestly, the rest is a blur of pain and pain meds. And next thing I know, I'm waking up from surgery and it was told it was a success. And I had to spend a good week or two recovering, but I was okay to fly home on Sunday. And that was that.
Yeah. So let me rewind a little bit.
Your perspective.
Yeah, and get my point of view, again, this is a crazy story because so many different perspectives, but I go to bed thinking that we're going to have our third kid, and I was very excited. And it kind of took the pain away that I was feeling from the bumps and bruises from the game. I get a call maybe an hour into my sleep, 3:30, from her sister. Hey, Logue, Ashley's having a ectopic pregnancy, and her fallopian tube just ruptured, and she's bleeding, and she's going to emergency surgery, and she's in an ambulance, and they got to do this procedure to save her life. And I'm like, hold on, what? Wait. And I'm literally like in the middle of a sleep, kind of trying to process everything. And it just went from a feeling of we're going to have a baby to we're not having a baby and my wife may die very quickly. And I'm thinking, what about the kids? What about this? What about that? And what about my wife? And what about the season? And just so many thoughts run through my head. And I said, all right, just keep me posted as fast as possible. Let me know. And like she says, she's in the back of an ambulance. Your stuff ruptures, mm-hmm. right? What ruptured?
Your fallopian
tube rupture. You're bleeding, internal bleeding. They go into emergency surgery. They end up saving your life. Obviously, the baby was not salvageable. We lose the baby. And you make it through the night. And me and you don't talk maybe until because of the surgery. So we probably don't talk until 9 or 10 the next morning. I don't sleep at all from that 3 o'clock. I'm waiting to get the call. Her sister telling me everything went. The doctor said a success around 7 or 8. I couldn't get to talk to her until later. You're kind of on pain meds. We're talking. I had to call my parents and say they'd have to watch the kids until I figure out what's going on. And me and you talk, and I just think we don't know how to feel, honestly. I think I'm obviously very happy that I didn't lose you. I'm obviously was very sad that we lost a baby, and very, very helpless that I'm not there. I end up calling Joe Judge that morning, again, haven't slept more than 1 hour. Told him the situation. Hey, Joe, here's what's happening. I think I have to go to Florida, and I don't know if I can go to Florida because what about the protocol and COVID, and will I be able to return to this bubble that we kind of have to play, and I might miss the next game, and I'll see if I can come back for the second one. And he's like, Logan, wait. He's like, your family comes first. And you need to go be with your wife. And if you don't play another game this season, I will understand. And you got the permission from me to do so. And that meant a lot, man. I think we're still healing.
Yeah.
I don't even think we're healed. I don't know when you're ever healed. It's a piece of you that's always missing. And that's the thing. And I think we really felt a lot of the effects the following season. I think this past season, we really felt that when things kind of got back to normal for us, it's like, okay, well, that was last year. Like, you should be good now. I can't always say that I felt 100% there mentally at times because of what the trauma that we went through. And we realized we're running off a lot of adrenaline.
Yeah.
You know,
for months. Honestly.
Yeah. My wife is out of commission essentially for 4 weeks in our house, 4 or 5 weeks with 2 surgeries back to back, trying to just get back to walking, trying to get back to, you couldn't pick up our son for,
oh my gosh, forever.
For 2 months. My mom leaving her job, the ramification of that household, her sister leaving work, everything that it took to support us, just even play that season. I was exhausted, you know, when the season got over and kind of a little bit because of just everything we've been through and kind of just going back to reality. So it's definitely a process where I feel for everybody who's lost a child. It is not something that is just you get over. It's something that kind of lives with you. And I think we're able to channel it to do some good.
Yeah. But. And I think your perspective shifts a little bit. You know, the gratitude was through the roof. We were living differently after this happened. And, you know, it's sad to think that something like this has to happen for you to live that way. But man, we still to this day, I think, are living very differently and see life very differently. And appreciate so much the people who were there for us through that process. And, you know, your mom and your dad, your family, Justin, my dad, my
Joe,
sister,
Joe Judge,
Joe and Amber Judge, and yes. The way they handled that,
Sam Flowers.
they didn't have to do anything. And I didn't know any of the wives yet. It was COVID and we weren't even allowed to associate with each other. And Amber, you know, was checking in on me constantly and sending things and do you need something? And we barely knew each other.
Right.
And that has turned into a really great friend for me. And obviously you and Joe are close, and regardless of what happens on the football field, that was our experience with the Giants, and I'm grateful for it.
Look, man, this is obviously a shout out to the mothers and Mother's Day. And I've been with you since we were 20 years old. We became parents together.
Yep.
We've had kids together. We had a kid born in Boston. We had a kid born in Tennessee. We lost a kid in Florida, New York. We've lost them. We've had them. We've been through a lot. What's the overall perspective that you gained into being a mother and Mother's Day?
I think for me, especially, I mean, through all of that, it's just to, you know, put your all into what you're doing as a parent. And, you know, we have two kids and we are what they rely on to learn. We are the main teachers of these tiny little human beings who then get to go out into the world and navigate it the same way we were figuring out. So I think just preparing them the best we can. And look, like you said, it's not rainbows and unicorns all the time. There's tough things. There's tough days. There's some days where I don't want to fight Otto to go to bed for an hour like we, you know, did last night. And I don't want to have to do these things, but you got to do it anyway and do the best you can through it and just give your kids all the tools that they need to go navigate the same things that we've been through, or, you know, the things that they're going to go through in their lives.
So end it like this. We obviously gave our daughter a bad rap on this episode, made it seem like she was just a terrible baby.
She's perfect.
But she's awesome. She's playing softball now. So
coach mom.
Mom's coaching. Dad is in the stands, hyping them up. Straight spirit squad. And it's kind of full circle. We met because we were both athletes. She was the baddest at Rutgers and a stud. And I wanted to see what that aura was about and get around and see if I can talk my way into getting a date with her. And I did. And now to have our daughter play is just surreal. Also, Ashley sent me a picture of the day. I'm in Florida training during the week. She's up in New Jersey while the kids are in school again, separated again. It's what this business brings sometimes, and it is the hardest part for us, is being apart. But so you taught Avery. So you could explain it. What did you teach?
Okay, what is it? I think in like teacher terms called regrouping in math, where you carry the number essentially. Yeah. She was trying to learn how to add bigger numbers. She's in first grade. They hadn't learned it yet. So I taught her on a whiteboard, and she came back to Jersey and went to school, and was the teacher sent me a picture of her in front of the class teaching them all how to do it. So that was a moment for all of us, and it's pretty awesome. And Avery is a little shy. She gets a little nervous to be in front. She couldn't do this right now. She gets a little nervous talking in front of people and even to her own classmates. So to see her doing that and be so confident in it was like a huge parenting moment for us.
And that's what parenting is about, is you're your kid's teacher. Yep. And you teach them ultimately how to be as human beings. And I think we have each other to lean on and hold each other accountable in terms of being good human beings, but also our kids. And for you to teach her something in one day, and then her to stand in front of class and teach her whole classmates that, I think it kind of brought it all full circle for us.
For sure.
Because we were kids when we met.
Yeah.
In class. We really were. So, but yeah, man, that's it. My favorite guest thus far. Obviously, we had some, you know, intimate personal stories there of losing a child, Ozzy, obviously, and having children, balancing the NFL with all that. Just a little perspective of how I operate as a player and as a human being out there, and hope you guys can see me more than just a player and just a safety for a team and how many Super Bowl rings I have, but also everything else that goes around it and what that takes and the sacrifice that takes day in and day out. But the team that you need, and I have a great team. I got a great teammate with me. So this was a fun one. I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys for listening.
And stay tuned. We got a lot more good ones coming up. Great guest list. And I'm rejuvenated. I'm ready to keep going and keep knocking out some great episodes. So appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on the NFL Players Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and follow at NFL Players Podcast on Instagram for the latest player stories and to connect with the NFL Players community.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family, like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.